Last August, 200 people, so a little more than this, gathered downtown Austin, Texas, forming a very long queue. Don't know if you've ever been in a very long queue before. At 7 a.m., there were already 10 people in the queue. By 8 a.m., it had increased to 35 people. And it went on and on like that. And it's mid-August, and there's no shade in the street, so the sun is blaring down on this long, long line. And people are going about their usual commutes and all sorts of things. And the queue is bending in and out of the road, around the cars, sometimes even over cars. And by 10 a.m., the queue is about the length of the queue for the London Eye, if you've ever been there. And Aaron Franklin stands inside, and he takes his keys out of his pocket, and he looks through the window at the crowds outside. He opens the door, and the people flood in. All for the purpose of one thing. Pulled pork. Beef brisket. Barbecue food. Every single day, people queue, this is a true story, every day people queue outside Franklin's Barbecue in Austin, Texas, to get their hands on what the internet describes as the best barbecue in the known universe. It's a big claim. Now, obviously, we can sort of sit here and chortle at all this and think, oh, these people obviously have nothing better to do with their time, that just for the satisfaction of a good meal, they would go to such insane lengths. But the truth is, and I think if we were to take a magnifying glass and put it up to our own lives, we're not all that different. We will go to extraordinary lengths to find that one thing that will satisfy us, won't we? Maybe it's that next purchase. I'm terrible. I like to think advertising doesn't affect me. I think we probably all think that, don't we? But I tell you what, Emerald testified to this. If I see a Coca-Cola advert, I'm in the shop. I just need a Coca-Cola. Maybe it's that next purchase that we think, oh, that'll be the one thing that will make me happy. Maybe we work extra hours all month for that next paycheck to be absolutely huge. Going to crazy lengths, perhaps, over that next relationship or that next physical enhancement or achievement. I wonder, when did you last put aside your social calendar and say, forget everybody else, I just need to sit in my favourite chair by my favourite window and enjoy a really good book? Aww. Or we've saved for months and months and months for that longed-for holiday. Just as a disclaimer, you'll have to save for more than months and months and months to go to Centre Parks nowadays. And you know what? It's only when we've tried these things, and we have all tried these things, haven't we? When we've written out our master plan about how everything is going to be amazing if we just get that one thing, that one achievement, that one thing, do we realise the problem? And the problem is this. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, does it? You know that new gadget? You get it and it doesn't actually have all the features you hoped it would have. You know, the screen resolution isn't what... I'm not going to use that illustration. Maybe the holiday that you saved so long for. Lots of us have been on holiday already this summer. And you went and you were really looking forward to settling down, having a great time, and then the family were irritable, the kids, and then you got irritable, and it just wasn't everything that you hoped it would be. I wonder, is that your experience? But the thing is that when we take these things and we put our hopes and our expectations of happiness and our longing for satisfaction in them, they cannot hold that kind of weight. They're not made to hold that kind of weight. And here is the message of our psalm this morning. That only God and a relationship with him through Jesus can bring us the satisfaction, the happiness, the fulfillment that we so desperately run after. So, from the top, Psalm 84, if you've got your Bible open, that'd be fantastic. Verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Now, the person who wrote this, we don't know exactly who it was, is talking about a place here, isn't he? God's dwelling place. And for the original readers, or actually the original singers of this psalm, because psalms are written to be sung, one place would come to mind, and we've already sung about it this morning. It's this, the tabernacle. I don't know how those pronunciation things work, so I just tried to help. But the tabernacle was this huge tent. This huge tent where the Israelites would go to meet with God and to worship him and to do sacrifices and things like that. And it's obvious from this psalm that the person who's writing it and the people that are singing it, they long to be there. They long to be there. My soul yearns. We don't use that word very often anymore, do we? My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. There's this kind of deep longing, isn't there? This indescribable aching to be there with God's people in God's house. And he carries on in the same way. My heart, even my flesh cry out. This isn't just something that's going on inside. My whole body is yearning for this. For the living God. But look at the way that this is written. Because he's not there yet, is he? They're not there yet. Even the sparrow has found a home. And the swallow a nest for herself. Where she may have her young. A place near your altar. See, even these birds. And birds can go wherever they want, can't they? They're free to do whatever they want, and yet even they make a nest in God's house. How much more do I need that? Now, it's a bit difficult, isn't it? Because we're looking back in time. And God doesn't live in a tent anymore, does he? God doesn't live in a tent anymore. No, we get in John 14:23, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So God doesn't live in a tent anymore. Where does he live? Within his people, within those people who are following Jesus. And this simple fact is the answer to our big question. What's our big question? Where do we go to find happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment? And it is found here. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. My King, my God. It's so personal, isn't it? The thing is, we're far too easily pleased with the kind of instant gratification that this world can offer us. With happiness that just doesn't last. Now, to put this in a bit of context, the people who would originally sing this psalm and others like it would be on their way to that place. Do you remember what it was called? The tabernacle. They'd be on their way to the tabernacle for Jewish festivals, which would happen every year. They would all up sticks and move from where they were living to the center point to meet with each other and worship God together. And there's a very helpful word for this, and it begins with a P, and it is pilgrimage. We all understand the word pilgrimage? Look at verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set, where? On pilgrimage. So, whose strength are they travelling in? Are they travelling in their own strength? Not at all. It's in God's strength that they're travelling in. They go in his power. So, the idea of this song is to say, I long to be where God is, and we're on our way there. We're on our way there. But this raises a massive question for us, I think. And I wonder if this has crossed your mind as we've been reading this, as we've been thinking about longing and yearning and even fainting to be where God is and to be with him and to be with his people. And what if I don't feel like this? What if I don't feel like this? It's been a long time since my soul yearned for God. What about you? Longed to be where he is. Now, I long for a lot of things. I longed to see the last Avengers film before anyone spoiled it for me. I longed for that week to be over because I just had enough. But long for the Lord? Not as much as I'd like. I don't know, maybe you're different to me, but I think that's a lot of our experience, isn't it? Not as much as we'd like. We struggle to capture this feeling all the time, don't we? It's not impossible, but it's more rare than we'd like. Why is that? Why is there that problem? I think it's because we, just like the people who are singing this psalm together, we're on the journey, not at the destination. We're on the journey, not at the destination. You see, even though we're walking through a broken world, we can say, if we're Christians this afternoon, God is my strength. It's not just me kind of knuckling down and concentrating really hard until I feel something about God. God is my strength. It's not about me trying really, really hard. No, when I reach the end of my earthly resources, God's full giving has only just begun. And it is in this weakness of mine that God is shown to be very, very strong. And you know, this joy in God can even be found in the valley, in times of suffering and of pain. We read about this Valley of Baca. It was spelt differently in our reading, but that's okay. This Valley of Baca. Now, this would have been a real place where some of those Israelites who were traveling to the tabernacle would have traveled through. So it's got that kind of historical context there, but it's more than that. This word, Baca, it means something. And it means kind of weeping or mourning or pain or suffering, that kind of thing. And we've all had our fair share of that, haven't we? Even this past week. Now let's get something really, really clear here. And it's this. Faith in Jesus is not a get out of jail free card for suffering. Let me say that again. Faith in Jesus is not a get out of jail free card for suffering. In other words, if you trust in Jesus, it's not that all suffering will go away. That's just not how it works. But it does give us a means to have joy from within our suffering. From within our suffering. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. What do springs do? They bring life. They bring refreshment, don't they? The autumn rains also cover the valley with pools. It's beautiful language, isn't it? Beautiful language. I wonder, do you ever feel absolutely battered by the rains of your life? Maybe it's your job and it's just pushing down on you and you just feel wiped out, washed out. Maybe it's family stuff that's going on and you just feel rained on every single day, every time you get up. Maybe it's anything else. That I'm sure we've got something in our minds where that's the case, haven't we? The pressures. But our God is very good and he loves us. And the wonderful thing and the wonderful truth about God is that he takes our pain and he takes our suffering and he takes our sickness and our loss and our fears and our concerns and he forms them together into good. And he brings good out of them. And pools start to appear. Not always pools where we would like them to appear. Not always pools that are fully visible. Sometimes we will never see them. But when our strength is in him, there is hope. There is absolute hope. Now, all pilgrimages have a destination, don't they? All pilgrimages have a destination. And for these singers who are singing this psalm, their destination is in verse 7, if you look down, Zion. Zion. Now, Zion is another name for Jerusalem, where they're going. But more than that, if you read your Bible and you dig a little bit deeper, this word Zion, it means so much more than just a geographical location. The word Zion represents our destination as well. If we're following Christ, it's this, it's heaven, God's perfect kingdom. And I'll tell you what, if these people think that a tent is lovely, it ain't got nothing on that place. No more tears, no more suffering, no more valleys. And it's at this point that our psalm turns into a prayer. Look at verse 8. Hear my prayer, Lord Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. This is a prayer for the king, the shield of the nation, the God's anointed one. Maybe it's King David. And if you know anything about King David, you'll know that while he was a very, very good king, he was also incredibly flawed. He was just a shadow of the true king who was coming. Why is it that we're even able to be on this pilgrimage in the first place? Why are we able to join this journey? It's because of that king. It's because Jesus lived the life that I couldn't live, and he died the death that I should have died, and he rose to life again and gives me life that lasts forever. He makes me clean. He fixes me. I'm fixed by Jesus. It's not by any strength of my own, any ability or anything I can bring to the table, but it's by his power alone that I am brought near and I'm made right and I'm fixed. So back to our big question, where do we go to find happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Isn't that wonderful? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper or a servant in the house of the Lord than be anywhere else. We've tried anywhere else, haven't we? Human history is littered with people trying anywhere else, everywhere else. So come to Jesus, because he has all the answers to all your questions. Let me finish up. It's very easy for me to stand up here and say, come to Jesus. But it's not very easy for us to come to Jesus. That makes sense? It's very easy to say it. It's not so easy to do it. So I thought it'd be helpful if we could just think about three ways that we together can come to Jesus and do that a bit better. So first, we have the promises of God at our fingertips or on our laps or on our phones. We have the promises of God at our fingertips. And it's the promises found in God's word that as they become the fabric of our thinking, that those things that we put our happiness in or look to and try and find satisfaction in, they get put into perspective, into their right place. It's not that those things are bad things. Some of those are good things. But it's when good things become ultimate things that we have a problem, isn't it? So as we rest on the promises of God and they become part of the fabric of our thinking, that those things get put in their right place. So let me ask you a question or make a challenge to myself as much as anybody else. Is God's word, is the Bible part of your daily routine? Is it part of my daily routine? Or does it get dwarfed by everything and anything else? You know, maybe it's breakfast gets in the way, you know? Or getting the kids ready for school or getting out to work early or whatever it is. You know, there are many things that can get in the way of our having the Bible as part of our daily routine. But yeah, there's a challenge for us. Is it part of yours? Second, hasn't it been amazing this morning, us together like this, in a small room, singing loudly, laughing together, celebrating together? It really has, and I've absolutely loved every second of it. But it is so much bigger than this room. We are part of a community that is a community of Jesus followers, and it's such a privilege to be a part of that. And if that hasn't clicked in your mind yet, please, please get involved. Get stuck in, because it is such a privilege to be a part of this family. We're not meant to come to Jesus on our own. We're meant to come to Jesus together. Because as we gather and remind one another of this story of Jesus, by singing, by reading, by hearing, by all the other things we do, of the promises of God, what happens? Those things that we put our satisfaction, our happiness, and our fulfillment in, they get put into perspective and into their right place. And lastly, and it's from the Psalm actually, verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Walking in daily obedience to God, and God will draw near to you. As we see God's will in our lives, and as we are transformed to be more like him, and when we live in his world in his way, rather than in his world our way, our relationship with Jesus, it deepens. And it deepens. That's all I could say, really. So let me finish up. Where is happiness found? Where is satisfaction found? Fulfillment? It is nowhere in this world. The answer is in the last words of this Psalm 84. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I'm going to leave a couple of moments of quiet. And I don't know if you would like to pray in your own heart. Ask God to increase in your heart and these other things that we try and put our satisfaction in, that they would shrink. Let's spend a few moments in quiet, and then I'll just pray, and then I'll hand back to Dan, if that's okay. Lord, we're sorry for all the times when we put our hopes and our trust in things that can't hold their weight. We're sorry that we rest on things that don't last, and we look for happiness in them. I pray that we would each and every one of us go away from this place this afternoon, trusting more in you, knowing that you are our Savior and our hope and our salvation. And I pray that as we walk through this life with its valleys and everything else that comes along, that you would be at the very, very center. In Jesus' name, amen.